Hi, is Patrick here? I heard he has a band, and I like to play some lead guitar for his band. Is he here? I guess that's a no. Hi, this is Mike Wagner, and I am a returning guest host on Rock in the Suburbs. Jim and Patrick are away today, and they've graciously allowed me to sit in for them again, which I appreciate. And we're going to talk about short guitar leads. And the reason I thought of this was because I was watching Bring on the Night, the movie that Sting made after he left the Police when he had his new band for his Dream of the Blue Turtles album and tour. And he got a lot of jazz musicians to play with him. Kenny Kirkland, Omar Hakim played drums. Daryl Jones, who plays bass for the Stones now, was in that band. I can't remember everybody else. But Branford Marsalis was the saxophonist. And he was sort of mixing rock and jazz. And there was this point in the movie where Sting talks like how Sting does. Like, oh, I'm Sting and I'm going to talk. And he's talking about how the difference between rock and roll and jazz and how the solos are between the two forms. And in jazz, it can be it's much more open-ended. The artist has provided a much more space to work. Whereas in rock and roll, even though there are solos that the really long ones like Comfortably Numb and Free Bird and things of that nature, many guitar leads in rock and roll are very direct and don't meander and get right to the point. And the leads that I'm going to focus on are precisely those ones that are sort of 10 to 20 seconds long, and they're there and they're gone, but there's something kind of magical about them. The first one I'm going to play is Nowhere Man by the Beatles. And the reason I picked this one was because mostly because of the sound of the guitar. There's nothing really special about the solo, but the sound is really great. And there's this one note that George hits it's a bit off. You'll hear it. It's a da-na-da-na-da-na-da-na. That note, that second lower note there, is off. It's a C note on an E chord, which is slightly different. And I always thought it sounded really cool. And the sound of the guitar is great. It's really compressed. And it's a Fender Stratocaster that George used, and many of you have probably seen from the psychedelic Dayglow painted one that George had. That's the guitar, but at the time it was a pale blue guitar, and he later painted it, and that's the one that's kind of become famous. He calls it Rocky. So this one is the lead in Nowhere Man, and listen to how it's really compressed and just really smooth, and it's double tracked as well. It sounds really cool. That harmonic at the end is a really nice, really nice touch. George really developed his lead guitar style as he progressed through the Beatles, and then after he left the Beatles, he developed a really distinct slide style, which he used on Gimme Love and My Sweet Lord. George is just one of my favorite guitar players, always really adds something special to songs, which is a real gift he had. The next lead I want to play is from Elliot Easton of The Cars in the song My Best Friend's Girlfriend. And even though The Cars were known as a new wave band, this lead has a real rockabilly flavor to it. There's still his own unique style to it, and it intermingles it with everything else that's going on and intertwines with some of the other guitars. And just one of my favorite things, and I always like watching on YouTube when you watch somebody play it and you see how intricate it is. It's really cool. So let's have a listen to this one. Sounds like he's using a Telecaster there. Telecasters are real predominant with that style of playing. Really love that one. The next lead is going to be by Dean DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots, and it is a song called Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart. And although a lot of leads in and Dean himself uses lots of distortion and real sustained tones, what I love about this particular lead is the sound is really actually a pretty clean sound, even though the rest of the track is fairly distorted and not as much as some of their other stuff, but still a really great guitar sound on this one. He normally plays a Les Paul, but I'm not sure if this is a Les Paul or not. Can't really tell, but it sure sounds like there's a couple of tracks, and at one point he does actually double track. Let's have a listen. Yeah, there's a couple of parts in there where he double tracks, and you can kind of feel some guitars cutting in and out of there. But still, that is just a really great lead. A little bit longer than some of the other ones, but it does absolutely burn from the beginning. And I saw on some post somewhere one time, somebody said, greatest lead of the 90s, go. And when somebody put that lead on there, I was like, yep, that's it. And that was actually one of the leads that made me think of this particular type of episode. So the next one I want to talk about is by Eddie Van Halen and the song Jump. And even though Eddie Van Halen is thought of as like this, you know, monster guitar player and long solos and everybody knows Eruption, if you listen to a lot of Van Halen songs, and I remember when Jim and Patrick did the Van Halen week, and I went back and I listened to all the albums, and I was surprised at how actually concise and precise many of Eddie's solos are. He's not actually a guitar player who goes on and on and on. And Jump is actually a really excellent example of he really gets to the point, does his solo, and it comes right back out. There's multiple, you can kind of hear the multiple takes. I think I saw one time on some website, and it had like the different tracks broken out and how they kind of come in. You can hear them kind of cut in and out. Nonetheless, really brilliant guitar work. So let's have a listen to this. Jump! Most of us have been listening to Van Halen all of our lives, and you forget how really amazingly unique Eddie Van Halen is as a guitar player. That's just really great. And there's literally dozens I could have picked from. I just picked that one because I thought it was one of his better, more concise. That's literally what, 15 seconds or so. So just brilliant. The next guitar player I'd like to feature is Brian May from Queen. And I'm going to play two songs from Brian May. One is a very un-Brian May type lead on a very standard type of song, Crazy Little Thing Called Love. And most of you have seen Brian May play that sort of purplish guitar, I guess the color is. I don't know. I know he made it. I don't know what he calls it. But on Crazy Little Thing Called Love, he plays a very sort of standard type lead, not typical Brian May stuff. I know he uses a Telecaster on. Well, at least he used it when he did it live. It sounds like a Telecaster because a Telecaster is known for having sort of a twangy sound to it. And it's really amazing how Brian can like completely change his whole sound and sound just brilliant. So let's listen to this and then keep in mind this, and then we're going to play another one, which is a very typical Brian lead. But first, let's listen to the lead in Crazy Little Thing Called Love. So very, very typical sort of rockabilly, major key lead. And I want to compare that to not one of his famous leads, but one that I went and saw a Queen tribute band. And I'm not a big tribute band person, but a friend of mine taught me into going, so I went. And glad I did. And they played a Queen song called Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy, which is in essence a show tune. And it really just blew me away, like how intricate that song is. And so I was listening to it after the show, and I was listening to the lead, and I was just blown away. There's like multiple tracks, typical Brian, that real compressed, distorted sound, that quintessential Brian May tone. And just listen to how it goes from, it pans, and there's multiple guitars and multiple harmonics and everything else going on in this thing. It's just brilliant. So let's just have a listen to this one. I remember watching a interview with Roy Thomas Baker, Queen's producer, and he said it took Brian like 5 minutes to figure out what kind of tea he was going to order. And he said you can only imagine how long it took him to do one of those solos. But nonetheless, it seemed time well spent. That's just brilliant. And I love stuff like that. And I love multiple tracks and all different harmonics and harmonizing within the guitar, within the solo, and just great. Well, thanks so much for listening, and thanks so much for Jim and Patrick allowing me to sit in. Hopefully in the near future I can figure out how to call someone and have a conversation on one of these, so it's not just me blabbering on. In the meantime, if you would like to contact Jim and Patrick, you can through Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You know the drill. You know, you can also email them at rock@suburbspod.com. You can call the party line and talk into your heart's content. They love that. Make sure that if you run out of, if the voicemail ends, that you call back and finish it up. Listen to an Echo Park Jimmy episode so you know how to do that well. And we're going to play out on the song that made me think of doing an episode like this, is because this is one of my absolute all-time favorite leads, and it is by James Honeyman Scott from the Pretenders, and a song called Kid. And I love everything about this lead. I love the sound of it. I love the way he plays it. The sound of the guitar is, it's not ultra compressed like the one that we heard on Nowhere Man, but it has that sort of off-phase Fender Strat sort of sound. And the reason I'm playing out with this one is because I'm going to let it go into the next section after the lead, where it goes into a middle eight, which was actually the subject of my last guest host appearance. And I love it, and the way that the drums kind of accent certain parts of the lead and of the middle eight, and just one of my all-time favorite Chrissy Hynde songs. And thanks so much for listening, and hope to talk to you soon.